Our sermon this morning is based on Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, which reads as follows. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was always puzzled a little bit by this passage in the Bible. I always thought that Zebedee must have been pretty ripped at Jesus. Because, you see, up until this point, Zebedee was doing pretty good. His boys, James and John, they were good boys. They had learned the family trade. And someday, when Zebedee was too old to pull in those nets, he would turn the entire fishing business over to the boys. They would run it quite well, and more importantly, they would take care of old Zebedee and his wife in their golden years. No doubt Zebedee had it all figured out. But then this Jesus comes along. This rabbi Jesus simply says two words to the boys: "Follow me." And his boys, they get up and they leave. They leave. They leave the boat. They leave their livelihood. They leave their family. They leave Zebedee. He must have been ticked at Jesus. At least that's what I always assumed, until I researched a little more into this whole rabbi thing. There's more to it than we usually assume. It turns out a rabbi was a pretty important man in Zebedee's world. Now, it's hard to make a comparison to our culture today, but maybe if you could imagine someone very important to you, someone you look highly up to. Maybe you could imagine Martha Stewart, if she approached you and said, "Your carrot cake is exquisite. I could really use your culinary skills as part of my magazine team." Or what if Tommy Hilfiger said, "Would you mind doing a bit of modeling for my latest fashion line?" Or maybe the Prime Minister phoned you saying, "Look, I'm putting together a task force on the economy in response to the pandemic. I need someone like you to head that group." Or maybe like for me, it's Ken Holland, the general manager of the Oilers, who called and said, "Look, I'm changing up the lines for next season. I really need someone to fill the spot next to McDavid. Can you join us?" My guess is that if the right person came along, someone that you respected, someone you truly admired, you wouldn't think twice. You wouldn't even take the time to pack your bags. If that significant person said, "Follow me," you would simply get up and follow. So, back to our story. You see, Jesus has earned the status of rabbi. It's one of the most respected positions in the Jewish culture. They are the rock stars of this group. Every young Jewish boy at one time dreamed of becoming a rabbi. Much like in Canada, every young hockey player fantasizes about playing one day in the NHL. Even the Jewish school system was based on producing rabbis. Young boys would start their education at about 5 or 6 years old, and the first phase of their schooling involved memorizing the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, memorized. After that stage, many of them would stop their schooling and begin to work the family trade. Fishing, farming, carpentry, whatever. But some of those young Jewish students, they were ready for more. Some went on with their schooling. For them, the next step involved memorizing the poetry, the history, and the prophetic writings of the Bible. Again, that meant memorizing. So by the time they were 14, they would have the entire Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, memorized. Genesis to Malachi, memorized. Now, by the end of this level of education, most students, they tapped out. They were ready to go and apply the family trade. But a very few, had the ability and the desire to go on. They would then apply to study under a rabbi, and he would interview them, test them. He would quiz them up and down and backwards on their knowledge of the scriptures. Most didn't have what it took. Most failed. But if the rabbi was impressed with a young man's ability, if the boy made the cut, then the rabbi would say, "Follow me." And the young man would. He would follow the rabbi as he traveled throughout the country. And as the rabbi taught the student, the disciple, he would take it all in. He would be steeped in the knowledge of the rabbi. He would become like the rabbi. But that's not all. In their travels, as the disciples followed on those dry dirt roads, the disciple would eventually become caked in the dust that the teacher would kick up from the road. The concept was that the disciple followed the rabbi so closely, both physically and figuratively, that his rabbi's very dust was upon him. So a saying became known, and a blessing emerged from it. It went like this: "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." So, back to Zebedee for a moment. One day, traveling down the road, comes Jesus. He is a rabbi. He's the best of the best. And as he walks by, he sees James and John in their boat, mending nets. That tells us something, doesn't it? These men are no longer in school. Somewhere along the way, they were told by their teacher, go back and apply your family trade. They didn't make the cut. They weren't good enough. So they came back home to work for Dad, Zebedee. But now this rabbi named Jesus comes to them, and he uses that critical phrase, "Follow me." Oh, it's the opportunity of a lifetime. And the best part is they don't even have to prove themselves. They're not trying out for a position. The rabbi already has chosen them. He believes they have what it takes to be his disciples. So, knowing all that, do you think Zebedee was mad? Do you think he was angry? I doubt it. I think his chest swelled with pride. His boys were chosen by the rabbi. His boys won't be at work tomorrow. His boys have important matters to attend to, for the rabbi has chosen them. And history shows that these two brothers were indeed covered in the dust of their rabbi. For just as Christ was killed, James was the first of the 12 disciples to be martyred. He was beheaded only 10 years after Jesus' ascension. John lived a much longer life, and he used those years to write down the precious Word of God, the Gospel and the epistles that we name after him, as well as the book of Revelation. These boys were indeed caked in the dust of their rabbi. But here's the thing. Jesus hasn't stopped choosing his disciples, has he? He's still doing it today. I understand you had a baptism just last week here in this font. That morning, Jesus said the same thing to that child of God as he said to you in your baptism. He said, "I choose you. Follow me." And on the day you were baptized, water was poured on your head, but you know what? You also got a little dusty on that day. You began your journey of being covered in the dust of the rabbi. Now, the ones we baptized, they don't deserve that honor. Neither did you. We are as unworthy as James and John were. Let's be honest. We don't make the cut. None of us have. We're far too sinful. There is no way on earth that we deserve to be a part of Christ's band of disciples. Not a chance. But he chooses us anyway. And he chooses us knowing full well that, yes, we will fail. We saw a great example of that in Peter. And I'm not talking about the time Peter disowned Jesus. I'm thinking even before that. Only about 7 chapters further from where we read this morning, St. Mark tells us about a fascinating discussion between Jesus and Peter, and it fits well with what we're talking about this morning. Jesus says that he must go to Jerusalem so that the elders and the chief priests would have him suffer and be killed. Peter confronts Jesus and said, "I will never let that happen." Now, Jesus' response seems to come right out of left field. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. It's got a sting, but it could have been much worse. Jesus could have easily said, "Get away from me, Satan. Be gone, Peter." But he didn't. He said, "Get behind me." There's significance in those words. What Jesus is really saying is, "Stop opposing me, Peter, and go back to the place to which I have called you. Get behind me. Follow me." And he does that same thing to you and to me all the time. For we oppose him just as vigorously as Peter did, if not more. We sin against him daily, and time after time, he forgives us, and he puts us back in the place that he calls us. "I forgive you, get behind, and follow me," he says. He keeps forgiving and reinstating his beloved disciples. He did it this morning as you confessed your sins. He's doing it now in the preaching of this sermon. He will do it in a few moments when he feeds you with his body and his blood. Time and time again, "I forgive you. I reinstate you in my family. Get behind and follow me." So, may you go from here, knowing that despite your past, your Savior has chosen you. May you take comfort that in your baptism, Jesus first said to you, "Follow me." And as you follow him on that journey, may you always be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hi. Pastor Cy here. I hope this message was encouraging for you. At Riverbend Lutheran Church, our goal is to support Christians in their daily walk with God and in proclaiming the love of Christ to a lost and broken world. We're a small and inviting congregation welcoming any and all who are sinful, hurting, seeking, or simply broken. Whether you're already a Christian and are looking for a church home, or you're undecided about your faith and looking for answers, you are welcome here. We have a number of programs for all ages and walks of life. Sunday mornings we have worship followed by educational programs for all ages. Please join us. For more information, you can visit us online at www.riverbendlutheran.com, call us at 780-430-7382, or email me at pastor@riverbendlutheran.com. Better yet, stop in for a visit. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with His favor and grant you His peace.